right, get your Bibles out, and Brother Dunbar's going to preach for us.
Amen.
Go ahead, turn to Matthew 28 and Mark 16. Matthew 28 and Mark 16. Preached a few weeks ago on the our first commission that we saw. We looked over there in Genesis, saw our first commission God gave to us. We're going to look at our second commission tonight, often known as the Great Commission. Matthew chapter 28 and Mark chapter 16. Matthew 28, look in verse 19. It says, "Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you alway, even unto the end of the world. Amen." And then in Mark chapter 16, look in verse 15 and 16, it says, "And he saith unto them, Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned." When Jesus left the earth, just before he left, he gave this commission to his disciples. Since then, it's been passed down from generation to generation. And we've taken on that responsibility because the disciples are no longer here. Someone's got to keep that commission going. And God has given it, when he gave it, I believe when Jesus said this, he was thinking of us. He wasn't just looking at them saying, do it. It was, I mean, yeah, he was, but I think he was thinking about us and the future Christians that would be continuing to follow this commission. Often in life, so when we're given some kind of responsibility, we have some questions about it, right? Often we'll ask, why do I have to do this? Where are we going? How do you want it done? When do I have to do it? What do you want me to do? We're going to look at that tonight. We're going to look at the what, the why, the where, the how, and the when of this commission. And hopefully, better prepare ourselves to fulfill it in 2023. Let's go to God in a word of prayer this evening. Dear Lord, folks have come to gather here in the house of God to encourage one another, but Lord, they've come to hear something from your word. And Lord, you're just using me as a vessel. I just ask you to give me the right words and the wisdom to preach this message tonight, to be a help to the folks here, and that they would get something from your word tonight. Just be with us and meet with us tonight in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, first of all, what is our commission? Well, it's to preach the gospel and to baptize believers, right? Preach the gospel. Well, best way to describe the gospel, I think, is in one verse, and that's John 3:16. I think that's one of the best, just, if you need the gospel in one verse, John 3:16, I think, is one of the best ways to describe it. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." The gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what it is, and we need to be giving it out to people. Thing is today, you kind of got to describe who Jesus is. People don't even know that anymore. They don't even know who Jesus is. But you think about it, back in the disciples' time, there were people who didn't know who Jesus was either. They were clueless. I mean, he was in Jerusalem, he was in Israel, but you start going out of there, and I'm sure the further you get away from it, they go, "Who's this Jesus guy?" Well, let me tell you. Well, that's what we need to be doing. Letting them know, hey, let me tell you who Jesus is. You've probably heard his name before. You probably heard it in a wrong setting, too. But let me tell you who he is. We need to be telling them about his death, burial, and resurrection. And it was all done for me and for you, so we could get forgiveness of our sin. And we got to need to baptize believers. It's not just so that we can get them up there and, all right, all right, you got wet. Woohoo! No, I think about it. In our country, it's we have so much freedom. Sometimes we take things for granted, I think. But man, there's some places you get baptized, that means a big deal. It's huge. Now, I do know there are some people that in America who have gotten baptized, and it was a big deal because growing up in New York, there's a lot of Roman Catholicism. And I've heard of some people getting saved up in that area, that when they get baptized, their family turns their back on them. Because what they look at is they say, you got baptized as a baby, why are you getting baptized again? You're rejecting, and it is, they are rejecting that infant baptism because they're saying that didn't do anything. And they're saying, I identify with Jesus Christ. And so that's a big deal. And what it comes down to is, hey, we need to get people baptized because they're saying, hey, I am a believer in Jesus. I have put my faith and trust in him, and I'm going to start following him from now on. Think about that for you. When you got saved, you hopefully got baptized. Well, you said that, hey, I believe in Jesus Christ. I'm going to be a follower of him. Are you still following him? You still keeping up with what you know? Don't get re-baptized. You don't have to do that. But that commitment you made that hey, I identify with him, are you still following through with that? We should be. That's our commission. What is our commission? It's to preach the gospel, baptize believers. Number two, why should we fulfill it? Well, simply put, I mean, here's the simplest reason. Because Jesus said so. Because Jesus said so. Think about it. Who is he? He's our Savior. The one who died on the cross to forgive you of all your sin just asked you to go do something. We should do it. Our Creator, Jesus, our Creator, said so. The one who formed you. Knew you before your mother even knew you. He said, hey, go. We were just talking about, we're getting in the book of Romans in teen class. And I came across a scripture. I told it to the kids. I thought, wow. He said, hey, I was to give the gospel. God commissioned me to give the gospel in my mother's womb. I didn't know that. It was a verse. I mean, I'd read the verse before, but I saw that and went, whoa, interesting. God said, hey, you're gonna do that then. Our Creator. How about the King of Kings? I feel as Americans, we don't fully grasp that very well because we don't have a king. You know, we get to vote the guy in office out, you know, or try to be a part of voting the guy out in office if we don't like him, or try to get someone back in if we like him. We don't really understand that kingship. But in a country where there's a king, you do what the king says. What he says goes. And there is no other law but the king's. Well, we serve the King of Kings. And he gave us a commission, said, hey, go do this. It should be, yes, sir, I'll go do it. I'll go do it. And then simply put, he's just God. On top of all of that, he is just God. God of gods has said, this is what I'd like you to do. That should be good enough for us. But there's some more. Hopefully entice you a little bit more for a reason as to why we should fulfill it. Look in John chapter 3. John chapter 3 and verse 15 says, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned. But he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Look down in verse 36. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him. You know why we need to go out there and give it? Those people are already condemned. Whether we say it or not, they're condemned. They're already headed to hell. There's nothing they can do about it except if we tell them. Look, Hollywood's not going to tell them. He said, well, they make Christian movies occasionally. Yeah, occasionally. And you know what I find? They often get them wrong. Hollywood won't tell them. Politicians won't tell them. Oh, man, you name of God come out of a politician's mouth. It's rare sighting. They're not going to tell them. Sports players aren't going to tell them. I mean, I know right now the big thing in the NFL right now is they're all praying, which, hey, it's good. They're all praying in the wrong place, though. It's Sunday, and they're still out on the field, and they should be in the house of God. I go, is God really hearing your prayers, fellas, out on that field where you're not supposed to be on Sunday? Maybe Monday night he heard it. But Sunday, you should be in the house of God. I believe. No one's going to tell them. And they're already condemned. Unless they believe. Well, we got to get it to them. We got to get it to them. We got to prevent them from going to hell. Look in Luke chapter 16. What happens to the condemned man? Luke 16, verse 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. That's their end. You think about it. The last breath they take on earth, the very next one is their first breath in hell. I think we need to be reminded of that reality sometimes, that there are people constantly dying and going to hell. And there's nothing they can do about it unless they trust Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they're going through life and nobody's trying to warn them about it. Well, if we as Christians keep our mouths shut, there really is nobody trying to warn them about it. That's why Jesus said, go tell them. They have no hope right now, and we need to be the ones to let them know. Being in torments. I can't fully grasp that concept of that word. I've never been in torments. I've been in pain, but I've never been in torments. The only thing I can think of is I've met people that I feel have been in torments. There's a pastor I've met that, if you know Brother Sam Gipp, all right, he's in a lot of pain, all right? He met this pastor and he said, this man's in worse shape than I am. But the man was in just constant pain. It never quit. A surgery went wrong. Someone did a spinal tap and did multiple spinal taps on this man, and he's just a constant pain. And it was, he can't help but move. He's constantly moving. And that's the only thing I can think of being in torments is that description for me, but I have not even experienced that. But that's what these folks are going to go through if we don't warn them. We need to warn them. Look, they're going to a literal place called the lake of fire. The lake of fire. You ever go by one of those lakes of water? Put fire there and have it just be burning and burning and burning. That's where they're headed to. And the Bible says the unbelieving are going to go there. That means anyone who says, no, I don't believe in Jesus, I don't believe in God, they're going there, which is, that covers them all. They're all going. We need to warn them. We need to warn them. Hey, where should we fulfill it? Go to Acts chapter 1. Jesus even told us where to do it. Acts chapter 1, verse 7 and 8. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. Well, we know that it started in Jerusalem and eventually it just started to spread. God even brought persecution to get the Christians to spread even more. You know, God used Saul to get them to get out of where they were, and he said, hey, I want that church to spread even further. And got the disciples to get moving. They went all over. I don't remember what I've heard, that it's believed that one of the disciples even went as far as China. I believe so. I believe they got the gospel way back then. But they spread out. Well, I think God wants you to. Your location is right where God called you. Right where God called you. That's where you need to be doing it. That's where we need to be giving out the commission and fulfilling it. Hey, if he called you somewhere, go. Like, I was in New York for a while. God called me out of there. Called me down to the promised land, Texas. Called me here. Well, that meant me, you know, I don't go back there every Saturday or what, you know, hey, when's door knocking? No, I do it here. I do it here. You say, but we got to go to these other places too. Well, you can be a part of that too. We get to be a part of doing those other locations. You know, we hit our, we like to call it our Jerusalem, right? How do we be a part of giving to those, getting the gospel to those other places? Well, financially. Financially. Hey, the example is set in the book of Acts. Think about it. All those churches, there were churches that financially gave to Paul so that he could continue his work. He rebuked the church of Corinth because they didn't help him financially, and he was getting help from other churches when he was at Corinth to help that church out. Then we know that there are churches that gave back to the church in Jerusalem because they were having problems and they needed help. See, they set the example for us to say, hey, you want to be a part of getting the gospel in other locations? Give financially. Give financially. Hey, I hope you're a part of the missions program of First Baptist Church. It's a blessing. It's a blessing because, man, when you hear a missionary that we support come in and say, hey, this is what we are able to do, you say, but I don't give that much. Yeah, but you're a part of it. You're a part of it. And you're not. I was able to help do that because our church supports that missionary. I was a part of that. What else? How about giving of your time in prayer? Giving of your time in prayer. Hey, they need our prayers. If we really believe prayer works, we'll do it. Well, give of our time in praying for our missionaries. Yeah, they need that finances. Crack that pocketbook open, put it in the plate. Sometimes I think that's a lot easier to do because we can always get more of that. But your time, you can't get more of. You only have so much. Are you willing to invest some of that in the missionary? Praying for him and asking God to bless his work? You can even pray for Haltom City, asking God to help us to reach the lost souls right here in our own Jerusalem. You know what else? You can actually put both those together, though. And if you've never done this, I highly recommend you do it. Take both those things, your time and your finances, and go take a missions trip and actually help a missionary out for a week or two. That's a lot of money, Brother Dunbar. Yeah, and it's well worth the investment. It's well worth the investment. I was sitting in the pew thinking about this message and just mulling things over in my head. I'd give anything to go back to Belize to go door knocking. Belize is my favorite place to knock doors. I mean, it was one word description, fun. I never knew knocking doors could be so much fun. I did it since I was a teenager, but knocking doors, and it was just, all right, we got to do it. And there were days that I didn't enjoy it and days that, oh, it wasn't too bad. When I got to Belize and went, wow, this is fun to knock doors. People want to talk to you. They want to have it. You can actually crack open. It was weird to me to open my Bible, show it to somebody and show them, see, this is what the Word of God says, and it contradicted something that they thought. And you know what they said? They went, oh, well, then the Bible must be right, and I'm wrong. Huh? You actually agree with the Word of God? And it was shocking. Now, they've got years and years of thinking a certain way, so I had to keep bringing them back to that verse. But wow, it was fun knocking doors. I highly recommend. You want to get charged up, fired up for God? Go take a missions trip. Find a missionary and say, hey, I want to come help you. I want to work. I want to knock some doors. I want whatever it is you're going to do, you know, you need me to do. I want to help work in the field, you know, work with you in the mission field for a little bit. I encourage you to do it. Encourage you to do it. How should we fulfill it? Well, through the preaching of the gospel. Through the preaching of the gospel. That means we've got to use our words, folks. Got to use our words. He says, how can they hear without a preacher? That means we got to speak it. We got to get it out there. We got to tell it to people. We can't just be closed mouth. Look, we can get up in the pulpit and preach it. But I look around, I don't see very many lost people here. That tells me the church is not for the lost man. The church is for the saved man. It's for us to come together. It's for us to get together and be refreshed, encourage each other in the Lord, and then go back out there, the lost world, ready to go to try to win them. See, it's us going out there that's really going to make the difference in trying to get souls saved. Very rarely do you see someone walk the aisle and say, what must I do to be saved? Now, often I find if that happens, you know what that's from? It's not that one moment, oh man, it was that message that did it. No, it was someone had been talking to them already. Think about the Philippian jailer. Why do you think he went to Paul and Silas and said, what must I do to be saved? I believe it's the actions of those two men that whole night. And he saw a difference in them and said, he was about to kill himself. When he heard they were still there, he went, whoa, these men are different. What must I do to be saved? What do I got to have to have what you have? See, if it was us today, we'd probably be griping and complaining in that jail. Why are we here? We're here unjustly. Gripe about the politics. Go to work, you know. There's got to be a difference. There's got to be a difference. If we're no different than the world, why would they want what we have? If we live our life and they and the people we're around, they watch us and they go, you're not much different than me. Why would they want what we have? They wouldn't. We need to preach it. We need to tell them. We need to do it with boldness. We need to be bold about it. Hey, the devil's going to whisper in your ear, he's going to give you some lies, try to get you to cower. He does it, man. Say, you're a pastor, you're a preacher, pastor. Yeah, and he lies to me too. Oh, man, what would they think if you told them that? Hey, that's what you got to remind yourself. They're going to hell. It doesn't matter what they would think. Because if I can't win them, or someone else can't win them, that's where they're going. And whether I tell them that or not, they're already headed there. We need to preach the gospel to them. We need to do it with boldness. We need to do it in love. In love. Because you know what? Sometimes the gospel can be hard to accept, but they need to see that, hey, I'm concerned for you. I'm telling this to you because I care about you. Not because I want to beat you over the head about it. But I'm concerned about you. I want you to get saved. I don't want you to perish. Because, man, when you start telling people that your sin is sending you to hell, ooh, that's a hard one to swallow sometimes. Now, if you, like me, I grew up, I've been sitting in church my whole life. I'd heard it enough, and I knew it, and God was working on me and convicting me. But someone who's not heard that, all of a sudden hears it, and then the conviction of the Holy Spirit starts getting on them. They struggle with that. They don't know how to respond sometimes. What is this? You know, they get that conviction. They've never had that ever in their life, and all of a sudden they get upset. That's why we need to be careful, and we need to do it in love. Make sure they know, hey, I care about you. I care about your soul. That's why I'm telling you this. Remember, if they reject the gospel, they're not rejecting you personally. It can seem very personal. I've witnessed to people try to talk to them, and they get mad at you, and it seems very personal, but it's because you're the one that's giving them the message. But they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting him. So just keep on. Keep on. Be concerned for their soul. We did the what is our commission? Why should we fulfill it? Where should we fulfill it? How should we fulfill it? Then when should we fulfill it? Is it just on Thursday nights when we go door knocking? Is that the only time to do it? And any other church that does it any other night, they're wrong and in sin, right? No. Look, I understand some folks can't make it on Thursday night, but I hope you're trying to get it out. Whether it's knocking doors, and honestly, that's a specific time we as a church have said, hey, we're going to do this as a church. We're going to try to go out, and we're going to try to get people to come to the church. But reality is, we should be doing it every opportunity we have. May not be every day, all right? I understand today in society, man, we got people working from home now, and man, you may end up just staying home all day. You didn't even have to leave your house because you got on the computer, you did your job, and then you stayed there. But any opportunity we have, we should be trying to get the gospel out. Sometimes we got to make that opportunity happen too. I've seen that happen. Well, the last time I saw my aunt before she passed, I mean, I didn't think she was going to pass, but this is last time I was up there visiting. I went and saw one of my aunts, and I was like, I'm going to get her the gospel. I'm going to make sure that I at least gave it to her. I'm going to make the opportunity happen. You know why? Because she's not going to bring it up. She's not going to be like, Jason, are you concerned about my soul? Tell me what the Bible says. She's not going to say that. I got to bring it up. Sometimes we have to make that opportunity happen. We have to open the door just a little bit and say, hey, can I come in? You mind if I talk to you about something? We got to make it happen sometimes. Hey, how'd you do in 2022 with that commission? Think about it. How'd you do in 2022 getting the commission out? All right, that's past. You can't change that now. What you did in 2022 is staying in 2022. You say, I did a really good job. Good. Keep it up. You say, I didn't do a very good job. Okay, look, don't beat yourself up about it. It's in the past. You can't change it. But you can change 2023. You can make a game plan, and hey, if you need to, which probably most of us do, write it out. This is what I want to try to accomplish. This is what I want to do. Get a game plan. I wrote a few things. How can we do a better job to fulfill this in 2023? Gospel tracts. Look, we got tracts out there. You can even go online. You can even buy your own if you want. Pass them out. Pass them out. Say, I'm too shy to say something to somebody. Okay, well, start out with just getting a gospel tract and say, hey, would you read this? It's amazing how much the flesh and the devil will try to whisper to you and say, oh, you don't want to give that out. It's a piece of paper. But we're too scared to hand out a gospel tract sometimes. Get a bunch of them. Get them passed out. Plan to, hey, I don't know, I'm gonna get seven a week. One for every day. I'm going to pass out at least seven. Do something. Get some kind of game plan. How about be more outspoken to those around you about your God and his book? That's one of the areas I think we as Christians are failing is we don't bring God up, we don't bring the Bible up in our just daily, regular conversation. It's easy to talk about, hey, how did the Cowboys do last night on Monday morning at the job?
or whatever sports team played, or wherever you're located. It's easy to you know, oh, hey, this guy agrees with me politically, we'll talk politics a little bit, or hey, we'll talk about this, or you know, whatever the case may be. We bring up all anything and everything under the sun. Sometimes we need to learn how to, hey, how can I bring up my God in a daily conversation? Do we not worship the greatest God in all, period? We do. How can we bring him up? How can we tell him, hey, my best friend, he saved my soul. You gotta be creative sometimes, I think. Which means it's gotta be on the forefront of our mind. If it's not on the forefront of our mind, if we're not thinking about it, it's not gonna come out of our lips. We're never going to say anything we first haven't thought about. Now, sometimes it's a split second. Okay, I get that. Sometimes we go, oh, I didn't want to say that. But it came to your mind first before you spoke it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speak it. Mind, the heart, then it just comes out. Well, you know what? If we're not talking much about this, how much are we thinking about it? Good to read your Bible, but do you think about it afterwards? Do you take a moment to contemplate, hey, what did I just read? You think about your God and what he's done for you. Look, if we're thinking about him, it should naturally come out in conversation to other people. And I think if we as Christians would be more outspoken about our God, people would notice a difference. And you go, there's something different about that guy. There's something different about that girl. I don't know what it is, but they won't shut up about their God. Think about it. There's people that do that. They talk about their favorite Hollywood actor or actress or movie star. They won't shut up about them. They talk about them all the time. Or their favorite sports team. They talk about them all the time. That's their God. Of course they would. Why don't we talk about our God? Let people know, hey, this is my God. He's a good God. Hey, we got the best God around. There's people that say they got good gods. And I say, well, you may have a good God, but I've got the best God. He created your God. So mine's the best. We should brag about him. We should talk about him. Then best of all, just having your own personal relationship with Jesus. Look, if your relationship with Jesus is close, it should change you. He gave you salvation, but it doesn't stop there. It should progress more and more every day. When we get out the Bible reading schedules, and that's a great way to start off your relationship with Jesus in the New Year's, trying to read through reading your Bible every day. It's definitely a help. I find if I'm not doing that, my relationship's going to start doing this. I at least need to be doing that. But if I'm having a relationship with him and allowing him to use his word to speak to me, and when he says, hey, you need to change this here. That's what a relationship is you're getting to know each other. And you know what? You're going to make some changes. Fellas, when you dated your wives, you probably made some changes, right? All of a sudden you found out she didn't like this. Oh, I'm going to try to change that a little bit. Or, oh, she really likes this. Oh, I'm going to try to keep doing that. Well, I have a relationship with Jesus, and he's going, he's perfect, so there's nothing to change about him. But he's looking at us going, hey, you need to change that a little bit. Or, hey, you need to do that a little bit more. I like that. Keep doing it. Okay, I'll keep doing that. And then you need to quit doing this. See, if we would listen to him, allow him to work in our life, man, just our life should hopefully be a testimony. That shouldn't be the only way. Hey, we need to be verbal about it. He told us to preach it. But man, people should see in our own life There's something different about that person. I want what they have. There's just something different about them. I believe if we're living it, we're going to speak it. Let 2023 be a different year for you getting out the second commission that we got. We need to get the gospel out. That world is dying and going to hell. Nobody else is going to tell them. Nobody. They're already condemned. They're already heading there. We need to be outspoken and try to get them the gospel. What are you doing about it? What will you do about it for 2023 and getting the commission out? Let's bow our heads, close our eyes. Dear Lord, you gave us something to do. You gave us a job to do when you left. You told us to go get the gospel out to the rest of the world. You told us to start where we're at. Lord, help us as First Baptist Church, as individual Christians here in this church, that we would do so. We all reach different people. We all talk to different people. We all go our separate ways and we go out into this world and we can reach and affect the lives of the lost out in those areas. Lord, help us to be outspoken Christians for you. Give us boldness this year to be more outspoken with the gospel, trying to see more souls saved this year than we saw last year. There's a lot of things we need to do in our life, but this is definitely one of the most important things that we should be trying to accomplish. Lord, have your will and way in this invitation. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's stand. Let's just have head bowed, eyes closed. Miss Noble's going to play quietly. If God's worked in your heart, altar's open. Come on down and spend some time with him talking. We'll just give people the moments they need to talk with God.